Keep on buzzing, golf buzzers.
First of all, congratulations on the wedding. Kept the identity a secret. Are we going to get a glimpse of her in the Bibling season 2?
I would love to give you guys spoilers. My mom, she works as a police for my wife, you know, as an informant. These trolls, they basically don't have a personality in life.
Very true.
Is it worth my time? No, not every battle you can fight. One of the things that I regret is when I was 16, I had a really huge money-making business. I've been doing business since I was 14 years old. I wished I would have like opened 20 times more locations because I would have been 20 times richer now.
Hi, Ibrahim. Welcome to Spill the Tea on Golf Buzz. How are you?
I'm good, Drew. How are you?
Very well. It's an honor. To have you on the show.
My pleasure.
First of all, congratulations on the wedding. How many months has it been?
It's been 5 months, 6 months. Yeah.
That's great. And how does it feel like being a married man now? The same?
I just have to pay attention to what I say more often. Especially when my wife's around. It's like, oh, I can't say that. Can't say this. Can't say that. You know, it's just like when you're living with someone, you have to always consider what they feel. Before, it's just like, I don't have a filter. So I kind of have a husband filter.
Okay.
So I don't say everything that I would normally say.
So is it a love or an arrange?
Love.
Love. So there's a difference when you're just like in a courtship, like you're just dating, and there's a difference when you're married.
But it was funny because we were introduced by her cousin. So it was like, it wasn't arranged, but it was introduced, you know? And it was like we were introduced to be friends, and then knowing each other as friends ultimately led to loving each other.
That's interesting. So what made you fall in love with her?
Well, Dubai attracts a whole different type of audience, people who come to Dubai. A lot of people come to Dubai for opportunities. A lot of people come to Dubai as, you know, influencers, promote the city, which is beautiful and which what the city needs.
100%.
You know, she wasn't that. You know, she's from here. She's a local Emirati from Abu Dhabi, very conservative, very cultural. And, you know, coming from a background, you know, my father being from Kuwait, my mom being American, I was always attached to the cultural side of my father's family because we lived in America.
Oh.
I always thought that was fascinating.
Fascinating, yeah.
That was one of the big factors, is that there's so many cultural things that make so much sense in the Emirati culture that I embraced, I loved, and I wanted to live the rest of my life embracing that and practicing the Emirati culture.
Oh, wow, that's really interesting. I really didn't know about that. Yeah. We saw the pictures of the wedding, and you've kept the identity a secret. Which is fair enough in today's industry, especially. But are we going to see, like, get a glimpse of her in the Bibling season 2, do you think?
I would love to give you guys spoilers.
Yeah.
But then it won't be fair to people who actually don't want the spoilers. So I highly suggest that you watch season 2 because I absolutely enjoyed filming. Like, it was much different than 1. 2 was, we felt more happier at filming because we were more comfortable with the camera, so we were more ourselves, you know? So you have to wait and watch.
Looking forward, I'm really very
Trust
interested.
Me, I am. Like, I want to sleep and wake up and it's out. Even me, I'm excited. Like, we're all, everyone's waiting for it. And we don't have any dates yet. We don't know anything. We're just completely just, you know, praying and hoping it just comes soon.
So, yeah, I was going to ask, do we have a date in place?
A lot of people are being skeptical about it. They're saying, like, okay, last year was released in October, end of October, so I don't think it's going to be released sooner than that. Like I said, Netflix has not made any official release dates. So we don't even know. We don't have any official release dates. But my expectations, possibly sometime in November. Maybe it could be early December. We don't know.
So do you want to make a Christmas or the festive season?
Oh my God, that would be a great Christmas gift for me. I wake up and season 2 is out.
We've seen on the show your mother plays a very important role in your life, and we would like to dig a little deep and understand how that is like.
So my mom is my motivation. She's my everything. She's the reason why I've reached here today. Also, my father had a big part of it, in it as well. But it was my mom's genuine care and kindness for me that made me, who molded to me who I am today. I wanted her to have a life that she had with my father, but for her to be happy as well. Living with, you know, my parents, I seen they always used to fight, and I always wanted my mom, I wanted them both to be happy, honestly.
Yeah.
The reason why they used to fight a lot is because it's, my father's very Eastern. And my mom is very Western. And they couldn't meet, their mindsets could not meet. So they always were far apart. Yeah. So I wanted my mom to be happy. I wanted to work hard. I'm a very competitive person.
Yes,
we see. And my competitiveness is not fueled by anger. it's literally fueled by having fun. So I would race someone, and when I win, we would hug and we would like, okay, you can do better next time. It's about motivating each other and not being always on top. I like to motivate even my own staff, my people, my employees, even my brothers and sisters. You know, they also got into business after I started as well. So this is something I feel is healthy.
Healthy. So, and now since you're married, so how are you balancing between your mother and your wife?
Oh my God, it was always my biggest fear that wife would tell her husband or my mom would tell me to choose.
Yeah.
You know, because I remember once my mom and my dad got in a fight and my mom let my dad choose. She's like, it's me or your mother, you know? And I felt heartbroken for my dad, because what women don't understand is a man can't choose.
True.
They're two different things. They're two different types of love. And if the person who makes him choose, the husband might just walk away from the whole situation. Like, I don't care. You guys figure it out together. So thankfully that hasn't happened yet, but I fear it. So I always try to make sure that everything is good in between them, but they get along pretty well. They love each other so much. They always, you know, when they see each other, they hug and they miss each other. It's not like, you know, oh, she's here or whatever. No. And I made sure that was from day one, that was understood, that they have to deal with each other. They have to live with each other if they want to be in peace.
I think now that's the thing in today's generation. Like, we want to have that peace between the mother and the wife. So do you think sometimes they get more along, like, and backbash you?
Yeah, well, my mom, she works as a police for my wife, you know, as an informant. So if I happen to come, because my wife, you know, we're both back and forth between Dubai and Abu Dhabi. So sometimes I'm in Dubai, sometimes she's in Abu Dhabi, and back and forth. So my mom, like, she would tell my wife, like, oh, Ibrahim came in late today. Like, it's a good worry. I'm like, obviously in the gym, you know, sometimes I stay like 2 hours, 2 hours and a half.
In the gym?
Yeah. So you have to do an hour cardio, but then you have to do, you know,
yeah,
in between sets, you know, take a rest, whatever, yeah, and get your water and go to the bathroom. It takes time.
So as we were talking about the Bibling as well, so we're looking at season two, maybe, you also don't know, it's maybe November, December, we don't know.
It could be next year.
I hope it's this year, but anything that you would like to tell us, like what we should look forward?
Just be anticipated. It's going to be a roller coaster. It's a lot of things, you know. From everything, from A to Z, it's just absolute excitement.
So in the first place, how did you get casted for the Bibling, like for season one?
First of all, I was never, ever, ever, ever interested in being on a reality show. Okay, because I used to watch it in America and I'm like, what are these idiots doing? You know what I mean? That's always my behavior. I'm like, so stupid. But you know, in life, one thing leads to the other and you take decisions and you have your reasons. So basically, I have a very, very sweet friend. Her name is Nina Ali.
Okay.
She's on another show. She was supposed to be with us. And when she was casted, they spoke to her and they asked her, like, do you know any businessmen? And she's like, yeah, I know this one guy. His name is Ibrahim. He's a good businessman, her husband. And so she was like, are you interested? I'm like, okay. So they called me. We had a few meetings on Skype. And we never knew that it was for Netflix or the Bibling.
Oh.
Yeah, they just told us that it's one of the world's largest online platforms. And we didn't know what the show was about. It said it was about successful businessmen. So I thought it was more like a documentary.
Okay.
So then I was cool with it. So we didn't know that we're filming, like, until we started filming. Like, we didn't know what it was until we started filming. Like, and I didn't even know about Blink Empire because I don't really have much time to watch TV.
Okay.
So I remember Dania calling me. She's like, do you know that Dubai Blink is like Blink Empire in LA, right? I'm like, what do you mean? Like, well, that's about Asians. And then this is about Arabs because it's coming out of Middle East.
Oh.
I was like, okay. And she was like, we watched it and it's really good and it's really famous and blah, blah, blah. So like, we had to really make sure that we did the best we can. So we had to make sure that we're always on time to the set. Everything we were doing was like thought through carefully, and you know, we had to perform. We had to perform, really do as best as we can. And we did. And I personally think it's one of the best shows on Netflix because we trended worldwide. We went number two worldwide, and that hasn't happened from any show leaving MENA.
Wow.
So there's no show in MENA that has reached the world like Dubai Bling.
Dubai Bling has.
And if you notice that in the MENA's Instagram.
Yeah.
So Netflix MENA, when our show came out, the logo for Netflix changed to a blingy one.
Yes, I did.
That was like no show comes out, they don't change it for
nothing.
That's how proud they are of our show.
It was Mir and the MENA, and it was one of the biggest shows that I think got produced for the MENA region also. Yeah. And 100% you guys were really, really good on it. So since you said you were never into this industry, you were not looking to come, how did it feel when you have cameras like constantly following you for like a couple of hours because you're shooting from one location to the other? How did that feel like for you?
I mean, I was kind of used to it before because I've been on quite a few different other things, but nothing to that extent.
Yeah.
For me, I just roll up my sleeves and I deal with it. You know, it is difficult making it on time because sometimes I have very early filming and sometimes it takes from our day, it takes from our energy. But the best thing to do is just to be positive and to always say that you're doing it for a good purpose. And then everything falls in place.
That's great. And when the Bible Bling released, what was when you stepped out to the public, what was that reaction like for you?
Oh, my God. Oh my God. We all didn't expect it, to be honest. Yeah. So I'm just like, it was a random day for me. I'm like, okay, come on. No one's going to watch it in Dubai. Yeah, I go to the Bay Mall. Then like, people like head twitching. I'm like, what's happening? And the thing is that because we're reality.
Yes.
People want to actually know, is it real? Are these people real? Obviously, I'm not an AI.
Yeah.
You know, the cafe started to get more foot traffic in here. About 25-30% more customers started to come in. Like, where's Ibrahim? And there's so many weird things. People waiting in the car for like 4 or 5 hours to see me. And for me, I was like, wait, I need to start rethinking when I post on Instagram and I go to somewhere. Maybe it's not safe. Maybe it's that. We don't know. But we're in Dubai, so everything's okay here. So only in Dubai do I post real time. Any other city in the world, I don't.
No.
The next day I post. So, so it's quite outstanding. We got a lot of love. I got some hate, not going to lie. But you know, it's those haters that make you famous, by the way. You become a name in the household and, you know, and the amount of love that you get, it just doesn't matter when someone says something hateful or something mean. One of my favorite things was I remember going to Atlantis for iftar because it was Ramadan came in afterwards. And I was eating my iftar and this gentleman came in. He was all the way from the UK and he came to me. And he's like, I have to tell you something. I just have to. I was like, what? He said, my daughter follows your every move. I said, what do you mean? She said, she wakes up in the morning, she comes to me, she's like, Dad, Ibrahim did this and Ibrahim did that. And honestly, I was tired of hearing it. I want to know, why is she so obsessed with this guy, you know? And for me, when I hear that, it's not just like me being happy, but I also have to be careful because this girl's 13 years old.
Yeah.
So whatever I put out there,
she's
following it. Yeah. So I really had to be careful about what I say. Even I started not doing much videos in the car because, you know, I have to make sure you're safe. I've always worn my seatbelt. So whatever I do, I had to double check to make sure that that is something that teenagers should see without getting influenced by doing anything wrong.
Since you said every move is, you know,
it's calculated.
It's calculated. Yeah. And how do you feel about that now?
You have to kind of like not care at a point because like, for example, yesterday I had this, when I went to America, basically I have this role with the US consulate in Dubai. We have this book for the Department of Agriculture. So the book is called My Food Story and I'm the ambassador of the book. So I was invited to the US to do a tour for all the farms. And one of the farms in California, when they figured out that my mom's American, they're like, so you're American, so you got to be a cowboy. So they went and we got cowboy boots and a cowboy hat. So that cowboy hat has been traveling everywhere with me. And I love the hat because it really blocks the sun really good, you know? So I was wearing it yesterday. Then like, you know, people like, they're like, oh, your hat's backwards. Or they just do these dumb messages. It's just like, it's so annoying to open it because there's some people with some real genuine questions that need answering. But yet you have these silly, retarded,
like something that you can't... Like,
time wasters, you know, I would say.
Yeah.
So it's just, it makes no sense. It's just like, what are you talking about? Like, why would you send someone? Or like, you know, they'll do this, like, this and that, and they point out, oh, your button's open. It's just like, shut up.
Just move on.
Yeah. Shut up. Like, are you, you really don't have a life that you'd have to sit there and comment? And I'm sure it's not just me.
Yeah.
They're probably doing it to everyone.
Yeah, 100%.
You know?
We get that too sometimes. Like,
isn't it annoying?
I've got comments on my video saying, oh, we've seen this ugly face. And we're like, And sometimes I'm just quiet. That's and there was this one person who's just been commenting on our videos like 4 or 5 times. And then the public just got in. Like, I didn't even have to reply back to them. It's the audience that replies. But yeah, it gets annoying after a point. I get
no, it's just unnecessary.
It's unnecessary.
You know, and if you actually look into it, you'll find, I call them trolls, given a name to them. So these trolls, they basically don't have a personality in life.
True, yeah. Very true.
So they only have a personality online.
Yeah.
And then they think that they're strong by commenting, and then they love replies, and that's why I don't reply to them.
So then how do you deal with them? Like, does it get onto your nerve?
It's like I consider it as being like they're not even human. They're like robots. I don't acknowledge them.
Acknowledge them.
They're basically not even there. It's like system error. You know? It's just it's just a part of society that you just look and you say, you pray for it. I pray for them. I said, you know, I pray that they get a life.
Get a life, true.
You know, and I just keep on because nothing deserves bringing your morality or your positive vibe down. Nothing deserves, you know? And I constantly say this to my employees. I'm like, you know, life is about choices.
Yeah, true.
You go through maybe 200 choices a day. Which route you're going to go to work? What clothes you're going to wear? Who are you going to talk to? How are you going to greet your employees? How are you going to greet your friends? What are you going to do? What are you going to eat? It's choices. So when we make the right choices, and we constantly make the right choices in life, things become easily. And you have to sell your problems and sell it for cheap because it's not worth your headache, you know?
I mean, that's a very, very good point. Yeah. Trust
sell
me.
It.
It helps. I mean, I'm going to try that because it definitely sell helps. It.
Like, you think about it and you say something like, when something happens, you're like, wait, is it worth my reply? Is it worth my time? No. I could be spending time calling my parents, saying how they are, rather than replying to some idiot that has no brains and that is going to lead to an argument anyways. So don't waste your energy on anything and choose your battles wisely because not every battle you can fight. So some things you have to be very firm about, you know, when it comes to, let's say, if someone is being mean but starts to be racist.
Yeah.
They're attacking your race. You have to stand up for that.
Stand up for that.
You know, because if you don't, then they're going to continue. They might harm someone who does not have a voice or who cannot defend themselves.
Who doesn't have that energy to
exactly.
Like fight back.
So that could be a battle that you want to fight.
Yeah.
For me, I barely don't fight anything unless it's going to affect my family. That's all I care about. I only care about my family.
I think that's a good way also to just know that you have a line. Like basically just fighting for that, you know, that's not going to affect your family and the rest. I mean,
that's
keep
it.
Talking basically.
Exactly. Keep going, keep talking, going. Waste your time. I don't care.
I don't care. Yeah. So in the Bible, what were the three most things that you wish you could have avoided?
Avoided?
Yeah.
Oh God. It's hard to say because the show did so well.
Yeah.
So even though if I wanted to avoid something, you know, I would have probably changed the whole narrative of the story or the whole concept. So I would say I probably regret getting a haircut because I cut my hair like in the wrong time. And then because when we film, then we have our like interviews and then it messes things up. Yeah. So I cut my hair too short. That was probably the only thing that I regretted, but everything else was cool, you know.
So before we move forward, we need that famous dialogue of you. LGU, LGU.
Yeah, so this whole LJ thing, okay, so I literally called the producers. I'm like, I pray to God that there's something new on season 2 that people can forget.
but it's
iconic. But you know what's funny is that people around the world, they're like, they like knew LJ from what I said. They're
yes,
like, who's LJ? They're like, LJ is the girl that he went on a date with. You know? Oh, why was he saying LJ, LJ? Like, obviously, it's from the confession part of me when I had my pottery thing with Farhana. LJ, 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 LJ. And you know what's funny also? There's one part in it. So I said it incorrect in Arabic. So when I said أخذ من همي in Arabic, like, I said it's taking from my problems.
Yeah.
It's like doesn't make sense.
Doesn't make sense.
But that's why, because I was so frustrated and Arabic is my second language. This is why like a lot of Arabs like they loved it because like I was so frustrated, like I didn't know what to say.
What to say.
Yeah, it was just like I'm tired of her
hearing.
Going like a home. Broken radio in my head, like, and it was too early in the morning for it to be honest.
Oh.
You know,
then I can imagine.
You know, she calls me in the morning, she's like, we have to talk. Okay, so we go and I'm not expecting the cameras. I'm not expecting all this, you know, like, oh God, what is she going to say now? I'm like, I thought she's going to confess something. And she wanted to talk about this episode. I'm like, did you really wake me up to talk about this? Like, did you really get me out of bed to talk about this? Like, don't you know who I am? Don't you know I have better things to do in my life?
What time was it?
It was 8 a.m. Like, who the hell goes to a pottery class to eat someone's head at 8 a.m. Like, she's effed my whole day. She's messed up my entire day. She destroyed it for her drama, and I didn't like it. So, of course, I'll break up. Good, I didn't flip the whole table.
Yeah, you didn't flip the whole, you just like threw it.
I felt bad too, because the people working there, they got scared, so I had to apologize to them. I'm like, don't worry. I told them, I said, see that pot over there? I'm like, you save it. It's going to be expensive one day, trust me.
So that was a lot of information about the Bibling.
But you know something? You just reminded me. I need to go back to that place. I haven't been back there since we filmed. So that's been like, what, almost a year? More than a year ago.
More than a year, yeah.
So I need to go there and to just sit in the same place where I didn't reflect what happened.
And do a pottery class, but with calm.
They're going to be so, the employees are going to be laughing. They're like, it really did go viral.
And then like, let us just keep things away from the table. Just give me one pottery with a friend. Yeah. So, I really love this cafe. Thank you for having us at Forever Rose. You're also known as the Blooming Man for that. I wanted to know about the Forever Rose. Like, you took over and then you got it to Dubai. How did all that happen? Like, what inspired you?
So I've been doing business since I was 14 years old. Yeah. I started from zero. I'm not using mommy or daddy's money. Okay. That's very important to know. Okay. Because people look at me and they're like, oh, it's a spoiled kid using his parents' money. No. 14 years old. Thank you. Yeah. From zero. Yeah, no.
Yeah.
Yeah, no loans from the bank. Yeah, yeah, no assistance from anyone. Yeah, yeah, no partners. Yeah, all by myself. Working hard. So I've always been interested in new concepts. I'm a very true believer of diversifying your business. So when I started Forever Rose, I was literally the first person starting this type of concept. Yeah. If you see now, there's thousands of fakes, thousands of copies. They're mostly in every corner of every flower shop. But we are the original. We started the concept. So I started Forever Rose because I wanted to add a luxury element to florists.
Okay.
Before it wasn't existing. Yeah.
True.
And when we got a big fan base of customers, because we've been open for 10 years now, we decided to open the cafes. The cafes were kind of like a test project, a pilot, because I do have a bigger company of my family's company, which is an F&B.
Okay.
And my brother was like, basically, you can't do it, you know, because, you know, he's the one handling the F&B part of our family company. And for me, it's like, no, I can't do it. So I literally like didn't know anything about F&B, like zero.
Wow.
Nothing. Yeah. Didn't know about coffee. I only know how to drink coffee. And, you know, it's a big coffee scene in Dubai. But thankfully, I have my assistant, Saeed. He used to work before with Illy. So in Dubai Mall, so he used to tell me like about coffee and explain to me. So he actually helped us build the entire brand. Like, he worked with us and we did the mixes and the concepts and everything. So I'm really appreciative towards the other. Like, if I did not have him in the beginning, I could not build Forever Rose where it is
today.
So I had my assistants, and you know, I had a lot of people put their hands. We have artists that work in all the little details. We have an amazing carpenter who is from Egypt that basically made this dollhouse, you know, which is really cute. And we have amazing chef from Tunis, and we have chefs from India, from Sri Lanka, from the Philippines. We are such a big, diverse company, and everyone adds their touch to it.
So you're basically incorporating the world under one roof.
Yeah, and you can learn from so much. Like, I never knew that most of our tea that we consume is coming from Sri Lanka. And during business, I learned all this, and I started to like, I can open now any F&B concept. I can open a 5-star restaurant easily, you know, because I've been into the industry. I know the distributors. I know the scenes of the chef.
Yeah.
I know the business module about the food costing and all this. So it's a new addition to my portfolio. But I want to grow my portfolio. So I want to go in now into construction. I want to go into real estate. I want to go into more things, because when I started, I was mostly online. Then I went into cars. And then I went into luxury, hair care. So I want to keep learning more, because every business has a different business module. And the more you learn, the more you can adapt, and the more you can create new concepts. And that's what I love doing. Yeah. I have a huge passion for creating concepts. So eventually, my future, if you ask me, where do you see yourself? I see myself creating concepts for people who want to start business.
Oh, wow.
So if like someone, like let's say worked like a 9-to-5 job for like 25 years and they want to retire, they can come to me and I can create for them a business that will be something that they like, not something that they don't like. So I can ask them like, okay, what is your points in life that you are good at? Is it fashion? Is it food? Is it service? And then from there, I can create a concept,
For them. So, and then how do you deal with the criticism in the industry?
When you get criticized, it's just an, I believe it's like when your body is sick, it needs something, right? So when you get criticized, you have to make sure, is that criticism correct? You cannot make something that everyone's going to like, right? So you have to understand, first of all, who are you being criticized by? Are you being criticized by your customer? Are you being criticized by a family member who's jealous of what?
Jealous of him.
Yeah. Or a friend who's envying you. Yeah. So it's very important to understand who you criticize by. Then you go by that criticism. Have you heard that before? Okay. If it's been melt many times that it's heard, then maybe they're right. So you have to fix it. So it's like when your body, you start coughing, you need to go to the doctor. You have to read up. You have to fix. You have to change. You have to do something. That's the best way to deal with criticism.
And since you said you're doing business from the age of 14, which is very impressive, what is one of the worst mistakes you've ever made that you felt like, oh shit, I should have not done this? Like, it's a learning curve for me as well, having my own, and for people who are starting.
Yeah. So I've did so many businesses. The majority of them were successful. One of the things that I regret is when I was 16, I had a really huge money-making business, it was a concept of shoes that are on wheels. And I was only 16, so I was only capable to open 9 shops, which is a lot.
For a 16-year-old.
I wish I did more, because that's the first time I made my first $1 million was during those days, you know?
At 16 years old.
At 16 years old, yeah. So I wished I would have like opened 20 times more locations, because I would have been 20 times richer now, you know? But then it was a learning curve that, you know, you have to understand how to ride trends and when to get rid of it. Because trends only for a certain period of time. And if you try to keep the trend, push the trend, you end up losing your profits.
100%.
So once your profits become in the red line, where you start having any senses or any loss whatsoever, if it's continuous loss for 3 months, you need to consider selling the business.
Okay.
Selling or changing the concept or adapting or adding a new product, but something has to change.
Something has to change.
Yeah. You have to listen to the symptoms to know the cure.
That's very, very insightful. Trust me, because even I have my own business.
Yeah, because a bad business is like cancer. If you don't cure it, it's going to kill you. It's like, you know, open wound. It's bleeding. You have to cover it. And dramatic changes have to happen in order for you to make it.
So then how did you manage your life when you were a teenager with school and having your own business?
So at the age of 15, I started working two full-time jobs. And in order to work in the United States legally, as a minor, which is under 18, you have to have completed your high school education.
Okay.
So I sent a letter to the senator of Florida to request him to test me that I graduate early, because I was the only provider for my family, which is me and my mom and my sister. Yeah. And the senator replied, and they said, go ahead and you can take your SATs, which is the test that you have to pass high school. From the first go, I passed.
Really?
Yeah. It wasn't really high marks.
Yeah.
But it was good enough. I mean, I was 15 and a half, you know, so I didn't have like
the skills.
The full knowledge.
The full knowledge.
Basically. But I learned a lot. I've passed. I got my high school diploma. So there I was able to work much more hours. And then from then, I saved money and I started to manage that. And I didn't go to university until a few years after, because I wanted to learn. I wanted to understand, do I want business? Is business my thing? Or maybe should I be an architect or a doctor, whatever? And I felt business is for me because I love meeting new people. I have a fascination with cultures. I believe every culture is beautiful and every culture is unique, and we can learn as society from everyone. And it's so cool when we start to accept one another and start to go. Like, I didn't understand Indian people until I went to India.
India. Oh, really?
Yeah. So when I first went to India, I'm like, oh, okay. That's why they drive that way in Dubai. Now I understand. That makes a lot of sense.
That makes a lot of sense. There's no lane driving there.
Yeah. So once you visit people in their homeland, you start to have so much more respect for them. And you start to understand the things that they do and why they do it.
What were some of the obstacles you faced when you moved to Dubai?
Oh my God, it was absolutely crazy. So coming from America, I think the way that the US government has designed the US and the United States infrastructure is to feel that we're in a different world, okay? Yeah. So I had to change from miles to kilometers.
I still don't understand miles.
Big problem. Yeah, for me. Imagine how hard that was trying to maintain my speed, you know, on the highway because I'm knowing miles.
Yeah.
One. Two. How tall are you? 6 foot. No, centimeters, huh? Centimeters.
Centimeters.
How much do you weigh? How many kg? Kg? I know pounds, you know? And then the money. Everything was foreign. Oh. And then even when we're measuring, like, oh, my... Because our job is very technical in business. Yeah. So when I tell my employees I want something the size, I can't tell you how many things I got was so miniature because I've given them centimeters instead of inches. I mean, inches instead of
centimeters.
Like, so many things was like people are like, wait, is that size can't be right. There's no way. It's too big or too small, whatever. It's, like, confusing because every measurement is different. My birthday, for example, right? So I'm born in January 8th. Okay.
Oh, they write it the other way
so
around.
So we write in the US, we write the day, then the month.
Yeah.
Imagine how confusing that is for people. So I remember going to, like, places and they'd be like, I'm in August 1. They're like, happy birthday. No. So it's so crazy. Like, and my car, you have to call it the recovery. And you know, like, the accent. People have very heavy accents. So I kept like, why are they called? Who's the discovery? What discovery? Discovery is a TV in America, Discovery Channel. Like, what's a discovery? No, recovery. What's a recovery? I don't know what a recovery is. We call it a tow truck. So the reason why we call it a tow truck, because it's a T.
Yeah.
And then, okay, so in the UAE, they put the car on the thing.
Yeah.
In America, we don't. We put this little stick on the car and we take it by the wheels. So it's a T. It's called a tow truck.
Tow truck.
So I know tow truck. And then it was like, and I see all these signs says to let what? What's a to let? You know? And this is all British, you know? And this is like, it's crazy. And America, it's for rent. You know, here's to let.
To let, yeah.
And then also in business, oh my God, this was the biggest problem for me in business. You have to pay all the checks up front. Or you have to pay like whole year in advance. In America, it's like you pay rent month by month. No one takes the whole month, the whole year.
You're together.
That's big on your cash flow. Like, if it's more easy to open a business in America because of that. Here, you have to have 12 months in advance.
True.
You know? So, yeah, those were the hurdles. Overcame them gracefully.
We can see that.
Yeah, and now I can't even go back to America because, like, I can't adapt to that.
To that situation. So we've seen a lot of pictures of your workouts, and since you said you're not going to eat anything because you were...
This is torture. Like, you don't put this next to me. Like, I've literally had not had any sweets in 2 weeks.
Really?
Yeah.
I've had 2 ice creams in the past 3 days. My weakness. So what are the food and drinks that you eat to maintain your lifestyle?
I don't want to call it a diet because calling it a diet is wrong. It should be how you eat, yeah? Your lifestyle. So my lifestyle is in the morning, as I was coming over here, I had a hot cereal, which is this brand called Rice and Grinds. It's like, it's pure carbs, yeah? But it's you need carbs to function, especially in the morning when you first wake up. I have that with a little bit of chia seed and blueberries, half a cup of blueberries, and a little bit of peanut butter, just to change the flavor, with a protein shake.
With a protein shake.
Yeah, because you have to have your proteins to balance between, you know, vegetables, fruits, carbs, and protein. Then for my lunch, I have I choose a protein. So sometimes I can have chicken, fish. I can go vegetarian and have like peas, chickpeas. So most important is having a protein. And I also have carbs and I have vegetables. Same thing at night. So
that's it.
And without any oil, only allowed to use avocado oil or coconut oil. And I go to the gym every day and I have... in the morning, my cardio. So I do get in my steps because in Dubai, you know, we don't get in our proper steps.
We don't walk a lot.
We don't walk a lot. So yeah. I get in my proper steps in the morning before I go out. That's why I was a little bit late today. So I get in my steps and then I go to the gym like 3-4 o'clock. That's my routine.
Guys, Ibrahim almost works out for like 2 hours.
2 hours, 2 hours and a half. Yeah.
That's a lot. So what's your guilty pleasure food if I have to ask you?
Burger.
A good old burger.
Give me a burger. I'm good. Like, that's something I can eat every day. I love burgers. I don't know. It's just, and it has to be a proper burger. Like, it cannot be any burger. Like, I won't waste the calories on any burger. A few favorite brands I have. That's something I love.
So, do you have any favorite burger place in Dubai?
So, I own a burger shop called Big Smoke Burger. It's at the end of this.
I know that brand. I love the, what do you call it? You have that piccolo, yes. that thing, the sauce, like, with mix. Yes. That's, Delicious.
So one of my favorite sauces there is the chipotle sauce.
Yes.
So Big Smoke Burger. I love Big Smoke Burger, but I don't want to be unfair because it's just my own. But I do also like Five Guys. Five Guys, it's a basic burger, but it's done right.
So you still have a branch in Last Exit?
Yes. So we have Last Exit and we have here in Box Park.
Yeah. The first time I got introduced, I think it was like 6-7 years ago.
So we have a really good veggie burger.
I've tried that.
Yeah. So the veggie burger, because our chef is Indian.
Yeah.
So he was like, listen, veggie burger, leave it to me. I know what to do. So he basically made the healthiest veggie burger. A lot of veggie burgers in other parts of the world has a lot of like preservatives and stuff. We make ours completely fresh from vegetables. So everything, chickpeas, carrots, everything. And they're not really trying to make it taste like meat. Because when you try to make it taste like meat, you kind of lose the idea of veggie, you know? They put a little bit of chili to make it spicy, but it's really good.
Yeah. No, I've tried it, so I know.
Yeah, his name is Chef Mubarak. Chef Mubarak is the best chef for anything veggie, you know.
And how do you keep yourself motivated to go to the gym every morning?
So the thing about the gym, and I always telling my friends this who want to also join, is you need to, it's a mindset, yeah?
Yeah.
So you need to understand that you're not going to the gym. It's not a punishment.
Yeah.
You have to feel like you're going to a playground to meet your friends, you know? But you're just not going to be talking. You're going to be just like, working out. So when you think of it as like, I'm going to the playground, I'm going to like, okay, the feeling you get when you say, let's go to a coffee shop.
Yeah.
You should get the same feeling when you say, let's go to the gym. If you don't fix your mindset, if you keep saying, I don't want to go, I'm tired, this and that, you're never going to go. So everything is in our mind. When we know how to control our minds, it's when we know how to control our life. So we have to think about, wait, going to the gym is going to make me happier because I'm going to look better. Going to the gym is going to, I can network there. I can find someone that maybe, if I'm a, let's say, a real estate agent, I can find, let's say, potential clients there. You never know, but it's about being out there and doing something and meeting people and just enjoying, listening to your music while you're doing your cardio, whatever it is. It's just, you got to take your mindset and remove the idea of where you're putting your gym in your mind. People put gym in mind as places that I don't want to go. You need to put it as places that I do want to go, you know? So it's not easy, but once you get a hang of it, you're going to start saying, I only want to go to the gym. Honestly, I can't wait to finish my meetings today to go to the gym.
I think honestly, I'm getting a lot of inspiration about this.
I'm serious. Like, I can't wait to go to the gym. Like, I miss seeing my trainer, talking to them. I miss the vibe, people, you know, smiling. And that's another thing. If you go to the gym, you feel the vibe is wrong, don't go back to that same gym.
Yeah.
Go to another gym.
Go to another gym.
That's why gyms have your, like, you know, free trial periods.
Yeah.
So it's gym is like you're also going to a cafe. Not every cafe you're going to like. Not every brand of clothing you're going to like. So the gyms are the same. Find a gym that you feel comfortable with the lighting, with the equipment, with the people that go there, with the timing that you want to go. And then you're going to make it feel that you actually want
to
go.
Yep. Trust me, I'm getting a lot of inspiration because when I like, my trainer just like, we need to have less gaps, Dhruv, because I need one reason to cancel. Like, that's me. But
if one of the reasons that you need to cancel is that you're too tired, take a nap. Say, listen, tell the trainer, listen, we're going to negotiate. I'm really tired to come now. I have no energy. Just, I need a nap. I need to relax. I need a cup of coffee and I'll come. Done. But don't just cancel altogether.
Altogether.
Think about something. Your body is your investment because you're working, right? So you have a salary. So if anything bad happens to your body, your investment is, it's like maintaining your home to resell it.
Yeah.
You know? It's like taking care of your car to also resell it. Your body is the same. So you need to give it for it to give it to you. And when you work out, you build your immunity system, you become more immune, you don't get sick as easy, you become more stronger, you can take more pressure.
Pressure.
Yeah.
So that was amazing. So we've had some intense conversations about the Bible in your life, health. We're now going to move on to another segment and we're going to ask you a quick rapid fire questions. It's called Brew and Buzz with Gulf Buzz. Your favorite The Bibling star?
Danya.
Your least favorite The Bibling star?
Zaina.
What is your favorite flower and why?
The rose.
The rose.
It's forever. Why? It's forever the flower.
I'm going to come on that question later. Yeah. What is your guilty pleasure food? I think you've said it, but again.
Burger. And also there's a dessert in India. It's like milk, like a milk cake.
Yes, the mawa cake.
I think. I'm obsessed.
Yeah. Yes.
Yeah.
What is the most exotic or unusual thing you've ever bought or sold?
When I was younger, I bought like this shark in a jar, real shark, baby shark.
Oh.
It was a souvenir shop and it was. I thought it was cool. But then I thought it was cruel because it was a baby shark that didn't get to grow up. So, yeah.
Who's your business idol or inspiration?
Business idol or inspiration? Sheikh Mohammed bin Rashid Al Maktoum.
Great.
That
answer.
Is a great businessman. Yes. He built Dubai. Dubai is on the map because of him. Everyone respects Dubai because of him.
Yeah.
And I enjoy saying that I live in Dubai because of Sheikh Mohammed.
Sheikh Mohammed.
He created this big brand, and I believe that I see Dubai as a brand, you know, because it's has identity. Whenever I go into anywhere in the world and I say that I came from Dubai, people like, "You came from Dubai?" So they're like,
I know
so excited. You know that
I know
feeling,
that
right?
reaction, yes.
And I love it. And that's priceless.
Because when I've studied abroad, and I'm born and raised in Dubai. So when I've studied abroad, and when people say, "Where are you from?" I'm like, "Dubai." And their expression just changes.
It's crazy how much excitement you see in their face, you know?
Yeah.
Because there's so many great things here.
100%.
Yeah.
Who's your celebrity crush?
Angelina Jolie.
Oh, and which movie or TV character do you relate the most with?
I see myself a lot like, what's that guy from Punk'd?
From?
Ashton Kutcher.
Ah.
like when I see him, I laugh because I see a lot of myself in him, especially with the comedy stuff and like, can't really always take us seriously, you know.
And what is that one thing you're most afraid of?
Disappointing my parents.
And something that you're most proud of? Like you feel proud for?
My religion.
Your religion.
Yeah.
And if you had a time machine, which era or place you would like to visit?
60s.
60s. And where?
New York. Gatsby days, like, you know, Regal America, you know. I thought that was pretty cool. That's like last one, but I think also medieval times would have been cool to see how people functioned without internet, you know, without a, you know, a tick or our 2 million followers or 3 million followers, you know, I would see exactly what are you going to do.
What are you going to do? And if you were stranded on a deserted island with three people, who would you want to have with you? And one of them should be from the Bibling.
Oh, God. Three people?
Yes.
Okay. So before I got married, okay, would have been my mom and Dania.
Okay.
And then after I get married, my mom and my wife.
That's interesting.
Because, you know, when your wife is there, you can have children and then you can, you know, have more people.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
So, like you were saying, the rose.
Yeah.
We all know rose lasts for like a week.
Yeah.
But how did you come up with the forever rose concept? Like, what do you do about
it? So, basically, I was in Shanghai. For an exhibition.
Yeah.
And I saw it in one of the shops that they just had it like in a random box. It was sold and I took it. This was like 15 years ago. And I started to read about the concept of how flowers are preserved. And then I took it from there. And I created actual items that have identity. That when someone comes in, each product has a name. Like this is called the capsule. Then we have like, you know, Bella Rose. And we also did collaborations with the movie Beauty and the Beast. So we have an official Beauty and the Beast product. We just now launched Pink Panther.
Ooh.
So we have MGM limited edition Pink Panther Forever Rose,
wow.
Which is only a few of them made in the world. We're going to do more collaborations. I spoke yesterday to Snapchat about it. So it's quite
Snapchat
cool.
Snapchat filter.
That'd be pretty cool.
That'd
right?
be pretty yeah. cool. That'd be very cool. Yeah. Now, anything last you would like to say to our viewers?
Keep on buzzing, golf buzzers.
Thank you so much, Ibrahim. It was a pleasure having you on the show.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Hi. I'm Ibrahim Al-Samadi. Don't forget to like, share, and follow Golf Buzz.